This is Doug Miller. Well, you know what Robbie Burns said on an occasion. Would some power the gift he gives us to see ourselves as others see us? I have got another one. Would some power the gift he gives us to see ourselves as the other? That is, God sees us. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand, and a pleasure and a delight to be here, I assure you, and a privilege. I cannot tell you what a blessing it is for those of us involved in Dialogue to be able to bring you, week after week, these messages right out of the Bible. And this is purely a work of faith, and it is by faith that we put this word out here. We are trusting God to be true to his word, that it will not return to him void. It will accomplish what he pleases. It will prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. And that has very little to do with us, really, so much as, you know, other than our being faithful to put it out here. God will do that. And if you say, well, Miller, you're on there, you're talking week after week, and, you know, what about those who listen and they just kind of blow the whole thing off and they don't get saved? And, hey, Jesus said, he who rejects me and receives not my words has one who judges him. The very word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. And God's purpose, among other things, is not, you know, is to give people a chance to hear. And if you hear and reject, then look, God has done what he could do. My purpose is to be faithful in putting it out there. I am not responsible for the results in any way, shape, form, or fashion. That's between the Holy Spirit and those of you who listen and your hearts. You bring your Bibles and open up. We're in the 10th chapter of Job. We will begin at verse 5 today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to, as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require your assistance, your prayers, and the support. And when I say you, I mean if you're a saved person. If you are not saved, all we require of you is that you listen and take this in and respond, and you are responsible. But if you are saved, then we need your support. We need you to pray for Dialogue, to talk to us, to the Lord about us, to talk to others about us. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, get ready, Dialogue Ministries, P.O. Box 1222, 73083. If we can help you in any way, if we can answer any questions, if we can provide you with any materials, it's all yours for the asking. If we've got it, you can have it, and there are no strings attached. And I mean that very seriously and sincerely. You do not hear anyone associated with Dialogue out begging for money. We'll go off the air first. We don't do it that way. Now, if the Lord lays it on your heart to send money, that's between you and the Lord. but you will not do it because we ask for it. You, if we can help you, we want to help you. And once again, no strings attached. Now, if you don't like to write with pen and ink, then email us. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay? That is Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page that also is absolutely, it's out there for anyone to use who wishes to. That is Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. If you put in .com, you're apt to get something else. DialogueMinistries.org. And you go in there and click on that, and up jumps the page, our web page, our, you know, whatever. And there's a big picture of me. And what a delightful-looking guy I am. Actually, the ravages of time have gotten the best of me, but it doesn't matter. Okay, you can pull that down and listen to it. If you wish to talk to me, area code 405-535-9089. Now, write that down, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Area code 405-535-9089. You will get a recording. You'll hear me talking to you, and you will leave a message, and I will get back with you if you want me to. You won't, maybe you don't want me to get back with you, but you want to call for other reasons. Now you say, what other reasons? I'm getting ready to tell you. If you've been listening to Dialogue or you're listening to this radio station, you have heard the announcements, but here it comes again. On April 27th, our annual Dialogue Conference is going to be held, and it will be at Olivet Baptist Church. That is on the corner of 10th and Klein in downtown Oklahoma City, northwest, right down about a block north of the Board of Education building. That will begin at 10 o'clock. And it will be a Saturday morning, once again, April 27th, and absolutely free of charge. You show up with your Bible, and we are going to be talking about the seven churches of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. It will be very important and very informative, and you will have a good day with a lot of other believers and just listening to the Word. Nothing like believers getting together to share the truths of the Word of God. If you have questions about Revelation and particularly those early chapters, here is the time for you to come along and learn. And we will, as I said, begin at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll end it up at about 5 o'clock that afternoon. Now, why do you need this phone number? Because you need to RSVP, not necessarily by name, but by the number who are coming. We will serve a meal, a midday meal, and that meal will be free of charge. Won't cost you a dime. But we need to know how many are coming so our meal preparers will know how many to prepare for. Just that simple. So all you need to do is email or call and just say we'll be there and there'll be five of us or 10 or, you know, 22, whatever, or one. Doesn't matter, but we need to know. So let us know so that we can make preparation and come on out. Once again, the phone number, area code 405-535-9089. And the email address, once again, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. I believe that takes care of the preliminaries. So let's get into the Word of God. We have Job, who is confused. Now, God is not going to leave you out there in confusion, friend. If you are out there, and I am telling you right now, if you are seeking after God, God will rush toward you. He will embrace you. And, you know, no man is seeking after God is the problem in and of himself, in and of herself, no woman. Why do we know that? We know it because what Paul wrote in the third chapter of Romans. He says none seek after God. That's as clear as God could make it. It is God who actually begins the work in the heart. And we know if we've followed Job along this far, and we are, you know, maybe a third of the way through the book, we know that God is the one that began the work, and he used Satan to do it. If anyone is looking for God, God can be found, because God is the one revealing himself to us. That's what he desires to do. Now, for those of you out there who think, well, it's all about me, I can seek after God anytime I want, you had better think again. I go to church, I listen to this gospel proclaimed, and, well, I'm just not ready to get saved. But when I decide to get saved, I will get saved. You had better read the sixth chapter of John. No man comes unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You think you can come to Jesus whenever you want, and it's all about you, and it's all up to you. Let me tell you something. You come when the Lord is drawing you, or you can't come at all. And hell is full of people right now who were, as it were, almost persuaded. Oh, I'll get back with you later, like King Agrippa back in the book of Acts. I'll call for you when I have a more convenient time. Well, fine. You go on like that, and you will wake up on the outside looking in one day and wish you had paid attention. Job is in the hands of God, and God has hold of him for a purpose. You say, well, what purpose? To reveal himself to Job. God intends good for Job, and Job doesn't know it. Job, in his confusion, he does not see himself for what he is. And God's going to reveal some things to Job about himself, and Job needs to see them. Now let's see Job as he sees himself. Let's pick it up in verse 4, actually. He begins with a question. Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Well, I think the answer to that one is obvious. No. He does not have eyes of flesh, and he does not see as a man sees. He sees down to the heart, and he sees to the soul, and God is omnipotent, and he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There are none hidden from him. Now, you want to come to God and tell him, look, I'm a pretty good guy? Oh, man. How many times over the years I've heard that one? Well, I'm not everything that I should be, but I'm sure I'm basically a good guy. I'm a lot better than old so-and-so over there. You don't see me behaving like a criminal. Get out of here. Who do you think you're talking to? God sees you for who and what you are. And if you want to know something, it is that very insight into people that caused the people of God to reject Christ Jesus when he came here. Jesus, and we have the words of John in John's gospel, the darkness hates the light. He was the light of the world, and he came and shone in darkness, and these individuals who thought of themselves as religious good people couldn't wait to get rid of him. And he told them the truth about themselves, and they couldn't wait to get him out of here. And that's religion for you. That's how religion always works. But God does not have eyes of flesh, and he doesn't see as men see. Are thy days, in verse 5, as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? Well, once again, a rhetorical question, the answer to which ought to be obvious. No, no, no. God is not like a man at all. God does not have shortness of days. He is eternal and everlasting. And looking on humans, he sees them all. and the day is going to come. If you are out there lost, you are listening to me, but you are not saved and you know you're not saved, let me tell you something. There's no hiding place. You think you can run somewhere and hide like the people back in Revelation who run to the rocks and the caves and say, fall on us and hide us? No, there is no hiding place. God will call you up into his presence at the end. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, before whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. And the sea yielded up the dead, and death and hell yielded up the dead. And they stood there, naked, I might add, and looking at this one who knows them through and through, inside out and down to their shoe soles. Look at verse 6 here. That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin. Look at verse 7. Thou knowest that I am not wicked or lawless. Yes, God knows that. We're not talking lawlessness here, Job. Job is confusing the things that he does. Job does the best that he can in the way he does, that he knows to do it. We saw him at the first of the book offering up blood sacrifice, but we also saw that he was offering it up for his sons and daughters, saying maybe they've sinned and cursed God in their heart. Job says to God here, you know that I'm not wicked or lawless. Yeah, Job, but that is not the question. We are talking about iniquity in verse 6. We are talking about sin. And the Bible says in Psalm 51, David said, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity from my mother's womb. We are not talking about someone here trying to do good and trying to do the right thing. Yeah, Job was doing that and doing it better than anyone else on earth, I might add. We're not talking to the guy who tries to pay, about the guy who tries to pay his taxes, who is a good neighbor, who helps out those who are, and even gives money away to feed the poor. We're talking about a problem called sin and iniquity. And Job doesn't understand, or doesn't seem to understand, that he's got a sin problem. Job does not see himself as others see him. Yeah, maybe others see him as good. It's the problem of how God sees him. That's what he needs to come to grips with. And Job's iniquity here is standing between him and God, and Job's sin, and Job doesn't recognize it. And he goes on here and says, thou knowest, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. No, that is correct. Job, do you understand why you are in the hands of the living God? Do you have any idea at all what God is doing with you and what he's trying to do to get your attention? You don't, do you, Job? And Job, this is a part of your problems. Look at verse 8. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh. Let's read on here. This is interesting. And hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thou visitations hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. Well, Job, you've got some real good insight here, it seems. So what is the question here? What is the question? The question is, and what it gets back to is, you don't understand what God is doing at all, do you? Job, I can tell you this. And listen to me, friends, those of you who are out there. You're going to hear me say this again and again about Job. Job has got a compelling problem that is eating him up. Do you know what it is? Job is self-righteous. He talks about his iniquity in one breath, and then he turns around and talks about his righteousness in the next. Job is eaten up with self-righteousness, and he has got to get to the end of that. And God is going to polish him like a jewel, and that means getting rid of this self-righteousness of his. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one of them said, "Oh, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Unjust extortioners, or even as this publican over here." What the publican say? "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I know a guy who was listening to a street preacher one time, and this guy, he told me later on about this. He said this street preacher was talking about sin and sinfulness, and he got onto this subject of self-righteousness, and you think you're good, and you have never come to grips with the fact that you need to be saved and admit to your evil and wicked and sinfulness? And he said, "You know, that's exactly what I was doing." Then he said, "What that man said, it got to me. It got hold of me." Well, guess what? The man got saved. Am I talking to anyone out there who can identify with Job? Well, Job understands something. He says, "Thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity," in verse 14. Well, okay, Job, if he won't, then how do you plan to get acquitted? God will, in fact, acquit you, Job, but it will not be because of some righteousness that you have done. The acquitting is going to come because of the death of his blessed son, and that's an event, Job, that is not going to occur until 1,500 years or more after your life. But one is coming in the future who is going to bear your sins and bear them away. And God will acquit you, Job, by grace through faith. And what he asks of you is to cast yourself on him. "If I be wicked," Job says in verse 15, "woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine iniquity." Well, yeah, you are full of confusion, Job. You are full of confusion, but don't worry. You're gonna get that cleared up. I wonder, those of you who are out there listening to me, am I talking to anyone who needs to hear this message? If you are trying to please God in your own righteousness, quit it and accept his son as your savior right now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.